This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. I am your host, Chris Eliopoulos. I am the illustrator for the Ordinary People Change the World series, and we have two new books coming out in October. I am Ben Franklin, which is going to be Michelle's favorite, and I am Anne Frank. So that'll be out in early October, so be sure to go out there and pre-order it. And like I said, with us today is my good friend, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome back, Michelle.
Hello, hello. Good to be back. I've missed talking to you. Not that we don't talk every single day, but
I know. But
in real life, in person.
Yeah. Michelle's finally getting her legs under her when it comes to getting back to school and doing virtual schoolwork, right?
Yes. Am I allowed to say who my special guest is next week in my class?
Well, this is going to air on. It will have already happened by the time.
All right. Who my special guest was?
Yeah. So next. Yeah. This past Tuesday, who was your guest in your classroom?
So I'm teaching a class of people who are going to be elementary science teachers. Actually, we are doing a semester-long study of lots of different things. One of the things we're doing is we're studying trees, like they're adopting a tree outside. And every week I have them do measurements and all these different things. And this past week, I had them do some drawing of their tree, do scientific drawing. So we learned about that. And we had a famous illustrator come and teach us how to draw Albert Einstein. So Chris met with my group of 20-year-old juniors. We're all going to be elementary teachers, and bedazzled them, wowed them.
Well, I know it's
supposed to be. So he'll be taking over for me for the rest of the semester.
I was going to say, I know this technically happened in the past when everyone hears this thing, but I'm sure I bored them to death. And I promise next time I talk to your class, I will be wearing clothes.
Great. That way the dean's been calling me on the hotline.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. So
I'll tell you though, teaching remotely, you know, as we are at my university, I've likened it to when I used to work at the Boston Museum of Science doing live animal demonstrations. Mm-hmm. It's you have to be on, you know, because they're 20 and they're not going to be, I mean, your sons are 21, like my son is. They are not wowed, and I feel like I have to spend 3 hours. I need a nap after every class.
I was going to say, is it harder teaching virtually than it is in person?
It is. Yeah. My first class, I mentioned, I think on Facebook, it took me 13 hours to plan my first 3-hour class. So it's getting a little easier. They're working on projects. But anyway, we're very happy that you came. What an honor.
It's going to be fun. Well, I know it's in the past, but I'm looking forward to it.
It will be fun. It was fun.
Yeah. And I think you even made them watch an episode of Xavier Riddle and the Secret Museum, right?
I did. Yes. I told them that they, unlike the mechanical engineering majors, they got to watch PBS Kids as part of their homework. So
it's great.
It's good to be an education major. No, I think it's really important so they can see how you're producing the show and what choices you're making in terms of teaching science and other things.
So. Yeah, as I was telling Michelle off the air, today when we are recording, this was our last day of recording the first season of Xavier Riddle and the Secret Museum. So
wow, how many episodes is that then, Chris?
So each show, we have 36 shows, so it's 72 historical figures, 2 characters per show.
Wow.
I had to design every single historical figure because we also want them to look exactly the way they do in the book. So if you look at the episode with Leonardo da Vinci, he's going to look exactly like he does in the books. And so that's what we're doing. We're making sure that all the figures look the same and we sort of have a similar, hook line to what makes them amazing people. So, it's been crazy. Wow. It's been crazy. Yeah. So, it's been a lot of work, and this is only season one. So, and we're going to the first season is actually going to continue on through 2021. So I think we finish up the first season next spring. So crazy. But
that's
anyway,
great. Congratulations.
So, thanks. So any shout outs? No,
I don't really have any. Well, I mean, our absent co-host is still recovering. So we miss him. And and hope that he comes back soon.
Come back soon, Michael.
We miss Michael.
Yeah.
Michael misses us too.
Yep. Hopefully tell him to scream in the background. Soon. Let's hear him scream. So I figured today, so recently I had Becky Mankin on and we talked about what got us here. Why did we love Disney so much and what were some of our memories? So I figured today we talked about mine and Becky's, but we're going to talk to Michelle about how she got started. So Michelle, when did you first go to Disney World?
Well, I wasn't as lucky as you. I know you got to go every year to Disneyland with your dad. You know, your dad mm-hmm. worked in the airlines, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. My family didn't really take any flying vacations. We went to Cape Cod, which is awesome, but that was like the big thing that we did when I was growing up. I didn't actually go to Walt Disney World until I was a freshman in college, and I was at Simmons College in Boston, and I was singing with the chorus, and we went and did a singing trip during spring break, and it was just one of those moments where the heavens opened and it was like, oh my God, this place is amazing. I'd always wanted to go, but we just could never afford to go. And then it was like the floodgates opened at that point. I just kept on going and going and going. We went next year, we took a family vacation when I was a junior in college. And after that, when I got married, I had a really close friend at the Museum of Science who was sort of recruited by Disney. He is a electrical engineer savant and mm-hmm. self-taught, and got recruited and went to visit he and his wife and just kept on going. And then as soon as we had kids, we decided we have to have Disney Vacation Club. And so we got that when the kids were very, very young. And then it just, you know, we're like, oh, can we afford to keep on going? But it was just a perfect vacation for the family. And we just kept on going and going. Mm-hmm. And then we discovered Disney's Vero Beach, and that became another really important place for the family. And the kids absolutely love that. And we realized very early on that, you know, it was much for us, it was much more than the attractions. It was the whole Walt Disney World experience, how many things that you could do that are not even related to going on Haunted Mansion, which is awesome, but Haunted Mansion or things like that. So we went, and then I started to take some solo trips, and it opened. I started to write for All Ears. I started to do some blogs about being a parent at Walt Disney World, being a vegetarian at Walt Disney World. And sort of simultaneously, I got into running as a fundraiser for a fund in my mom's name. And with Deb Wills and Mike, we started Team All Ears. That's how we met you.
Right.
And then the rest is history. So
what was it? What was it?
It's really like, you know, it's like family and, you know, friends, and it's much more than things.
Yeah, it gets intertwined in every aspect of your life. But what was it on that first trip that really just hit? Like, was it like you went on It's a Small World and went, oh, I get this? Or was it just like, oh, this is like an escape? Or what is it that caused you to say, I got to come back here more and more?
Well, it's funny. This is going to be a really strange comparison. So I've mentioned many times that one of my jobs at the Museum of Science for a time was leading safaris to Africa. And one of the things that I noticed about being in Africa is that you can see it on TV, but when you're there, the smells, the sounds, the people, it's just mesmerizing. And it was sort of the same thing for me at Walt Disney World. I just felt enveloped in this whole other world. It just made it really amazing. And just the idea that you can look everywhere and see something that was put there for a very specific reason. But also, I'm a big tech geek and the technology behind it. And then having my friend Randy kind of tell us about some of the ways that they made effects happen in the park just really, really made it fun. So it's kind of interesting. It was more like being, you know, kind of immersed in this world that kind of grabbed me. But then I started to, when my kids were old enough and we could experience restaurants and really enjoy them, I started to enjoy that part of it. And then the whole Imagineering part of it, and then the running part of it. So it just keeps on pulling me back.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because Becky and I were talking about how we were pulled in because we went as kids, and sort of it's that weird thing that we all have where things from our childhood bring us back, like the things we loved as a child. But it's so interesting that you came to this as an adult.
It was something that, you know, when I was growing up, it wasn't really a rite of passage, I think, the way it is now. Or if you're lucky, most kids do get to go to Walt Disney World. It wasn't going to happen in my family. We were, you know, lower middle class, and, you know, everything was perfectly fine, and, you know, we had enough, but we were not going to have those types of vacations. But I'll tell you, I really, really appreciated it. And you know, kind of paying it forward with my kids, I did raise kids who, like your kids, who really appreciate and love Disney. Yeah. And, you know, I think in a way they're spoiled. I know the first time that I brought Liam to a hotel that wasn't a DVC, he said, "Where are the other rooms?" So I think they are spoiled, but
boy,
like,
oh boy.
Is this just one room? How do people do this? So,
how awful.
But it's been great. I mean, it really is, you know, it's a huge part of my life. Obviously, it's a huge part of my life. It's a huge part of your life, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody that's listening to this, and pretty much anybody that we've met in the Disney community, feels the same way. It's just interesting how people come to it, and it comes in different ways, and the way we meet it, whether as a child or an adult. Do you think your kids are going to continue on beyond you? Like, is there going to be, when they get married and have a family, they're going to head down without you?
Well, last year I got to take my son, my oldest son, and his girlfriend who had never been. Mm-hmm. And it was really kind of cool first of all, I overwhelmed them because I was like, let's go here, let's get this one. I had to kind of step back and kind of think about, you know, what it's like to be a first-time Walt Disney World visitor. But it was kind of neat to hear Evan sort of explaining things from his point of view. And also how much he loves Vero Beach, which, you know, I know it's not part of Walt Disney World, but we went there and spent a few days there. And, you know, for him to kind of show his love of Disney's Vero Beach was really sweet, too. So hopefully.
Is there any Disney thing that you look forward to in the future that you haven't done yet? Like, is there anything you would like to do? Like, obviously, like you said, Vero Beach, but like there's, you know, do you want to go to Disneyland Paris, or do you want to go to any of the Chinese or Japanese locations, or do you want to go to Hawaii?
I would love to go to Hawaii. I would just love to do all the parks around the world. I mean, you know, if you win the lottery, I think I would just quit my job and just, that would be the first thing that I would do. Also, I know you're not a fan of them, but, you know, more of the cruises to the different destinations I think would be really fun. The European cruises, the Panama crossing. But in terms of Walt Disney World, have you done Victoria and Albert? I'd love to do that.
I have not, only because I don't want to dress up when I'm down there. So the I like, for one evening, I mean I don't mind. I would love to go for the food. For me, it's just really just about the dress, the attire, you know. I guess it's, you know, now that my kids are older, and, you know, this year was supposed to be the year that my wife and I would start, while the kids are off at college, going on our own and sort of getting, because their college careers have been a little bit crazy. Jeremy changed colleges, and Justin was close enough that he was coming home like every weekend. And so we were, you know, trying to figure out, and there were, you know, he was working EMT and blah, blah, blah. But needless to say, we thought, well, we were going to go away. And I would have done that, surprised her I couldn't even surprise her. She had to wear a nice pair of, you know, a dress or something.
Right.
Yeah. So is that what you want to do? You want to do Victoria and Albert?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. We should totally
do that. Yeah, I definitely want to go, you know, do the parks around the world. I don't know. I still really feel like there's a lot to discover. You know, it's always changing. There are tours that I haven't done. I've done a lot of them, but I find the tours, the education part of the tours, really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I think I'm trying to decide. We've been to Hawaii a couple of times in my life.
Disney Hawaii?
No, just.
Yeah.
We went on our
honeymoon. Yeah, me too.
And I went when I was a kid a couple times. I went before I met my wife. I went with a friend from Marvel. We actually went out, and it was great. And I'm just wondering if Alani is going to be like that much better. Like, I'm not a big fan of the whole characters coming around and stuff like that. So I don't know if that would be something. I like the idea of maybe going to Japan and going to the parks there. But
yeah, another thing I'd like to do. I know you're a creature of habit in terms of where you stay. I've stayed at the majority of the places at this point, but there are places that I haven't stayed, like the Grand Floridian, I think would be really fun. I can't think of where I'm not staying. I think I've pretty much stayed everywhere, but you know, to make sure I go to all the different resorts would be really fun too.
Yeah. My wife, we went to London a year and a half ago or so, maybe almost 2 years now, and fell in love with it. And I was doing a convention in Austria. And so like I piggybacked a mini vacation in London. And I think maybe that would give us our chance to maybe hit France and go to, what is it, they call it Euro Disney, or is it Disneyland Paris or Disneyland Europe, or what do they call
Disneyland
it?
Disneyland Paris, I think. Still, yeah, it used to be Euro Disney.
Right. So maybe I can get her to do that. But in the meantime, we're sitting here unable to go anywhere. And you and I were talking about things that we're doing that bring the parks home to us and things we've been doing. So tell me, what certain things have you been and Mike doing at home to try and bring the magic home?
So I think I mentioned before, I'm not a knickknack person. I'm not a collector of things, but we have been doing some things here. One of them probably that we're relying on a weekly basis is Disney Plus. So all of those different Imagineering shows, those old Disneyland shows, we started to go back to the very beginning of the whole, you know, the Disney catalog, and we watched Snow White and Bambi and Peter Pan, and kind of like, you know, trying to look at it, some of them. It's just really amazing. The animation is just really, really cool. So spending a lot of time watching Disney Plus. There are little things, like one of the things that I discovered is that Joffy makes different coffees.
Oh, right.
So they make like Beach Club coffee and Jico coffee and just all these different cool flavors. And I'll tell you, it's just like a little moment in my morning when I have my little coffee that's from a Disney resort. And it's awesome. It's really awesome coffee. Yeah. It's really, really good. So that's one of the things that we do. I know that you have the candles, right?
Yeah, so I took a chance. I picked up the Magic Candle Company has a bunch of, they don't list them exactly like, you know, a Dole Whip, but they have a pineapple whip scented. So it smells like pineapples. It smells like a Dole Whip. You can run that one. One smells like the confectionery. They have ones that smell like rye, or different ones for rides and different ones for the attractions for the hotels. So it's
what do the different rides smell like? I can't imagine.
I don't know. You know, it's funny because it's like Pirate's Life. So I'm like, okay, I picked up the haunted one, the Haunted Mansion one, and that one, it smells almost like it's weird. It smells like a burning candle, but I think but it doesn't smell like a burning candle when it's burning. It smells like, I think it's like vanilla and lilac or something like that. I mean, it's not, you know, but it's just enough that it does give you, I do want to go back and pick up the one that smells like burning Rome.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. Let me just see. Let me just see which ones.
So it's funny because when you mention that, I looked at that website, and it looks really, really cool. And I mean, I have a Mr. Darcy candle here. I'm Pride and Prejudice. My physical therapist gave me this, but I ended up just going to the Yankee Candle outlet. We have an outlet place in the town next door, and I just got a pineapple. So I kind of did it a different way, but that sounds really, really cool. Like I'd love, you know, a churro one. That must be really fun. Like a cinnamon vanilla sort of smell.
It's they have the confectionery, they have a Christmas shop, they have tiki, they have the bakery, mouse waffles. There's a scent that's Walter's Office. So it's going to smell like Walt's Office.
Cigarettes?
Cigarettes and bourbon, right? Right. Well, I don't know what his drink was. What did he used to drink? Yeah, they have churro terror and Norway and Pop Century, but it's called Wow Century. The Caribbean Yacht Resort, Beach Resort. But they also do fragrance oils and wax melts and air fresheners and other kind of products along with, you know, scented.
A wax melt?
I think it's like these, I think you can just like it's like, it's the candle without the wick, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But cool. So I've been burning those when I'm feeling stressed. And I can,
it's really fun. Another thing that we've been doing is watching on YouTube different videos of parades, like the Electrical Light Parade or different attractions, you know, just going on and doing a ride through the Haunted Mansion or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, some people have done, this is one of the reasons I don't often take pictures when I'm at Walt Disney World, because there's so many people who have done it so much better than I have. But you have made, I know that you made a Grand Marnier slushy. So yeah. Some of the drinks are really fun too.
Yeah, I was going to say, so even over Labor Day weekend, my wife and I chose to sit out by the pool. Like that was our mini vacation. And talk about it, right? So at one point I made a kungaloosh one day. So there's recipes online that you can find that you can make a kungaloosh, which is really great. It's mostly daiquiri mix, and it's got blackberry brandy and Captain Morgan.
Blackberry brandy. Wow.
Yeah. I will say, and pineapple. So it's pineapple juice, it's daiquiri mix, Captain Morgan, and blackberry brandy. But the thing is, the recipe they give was way too sweet. So I found I had to pull back on the daiquiri mix and strawberry daiquiri mix, and then put more Captain Morgan and black brandy. Like no one was complaining.
It's always a good rule of thumb. Yeah.
Yeah. I always said, like, you know, you go to Disney and, you know, I love them to death, but they don't exactly make the strongest drinks around.
Yeah.
So we had that one day. And then what was interesting is I tried to make the Dole Whips, right? So, you know, you told me about the recipe.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask you about that.
You take chunks of frozen pineapple, you put in pineapple juice, and you put in a scoop of vanilla ice cream. We turned that into a much better thing. So you can, what we did was I did 2 cups of frozen pineapple. I forget the exact measurement. There's recipes online that you can find. But I put in maybe like a cup of pineapple juice. I put in a couple of scoops of ice cream, and then I put in pineapple rum.
Oh, good.
And you
idea.
Mix it, and instead of having like the ice cream whip, you would have a slushy, and that slushy was amazing. So that's my trick. It tastes like a Dole Whip with, the added benefit of a little bit of rum in there.
That's awesome. I don't know. For me, those little things just kind of like, ooh, I've got my little Disney moment.
Right.
It really makes it nice. Another thing that I do, I know you and I both have, I don't collect a lot of things, but I do have my share of 2 drawers worth of, or and more, plus some in my attic. Disney running shirt. So
right.
Whether I'm going out, I'm doing my Peloton bike or treadmill, or I'm going out doing a bike ride outside, or walking around the neighborhood, or running, it's kind of fun to kind of pick up a shirt that, you know, says Disneyland half marathon and kind of remember and kind of connect to it that way. So
yeah,
that's really fun too.
I like that. I mean, you know, yeah, it's just anything that brings back the memories. You know, like I had mentioned on a previous one, we, you know, I have a bunch of Disney park music. Like, so like I've got like the whole music before Illuminations came on, or you have the songs from, you know, wherever. The other one I found, which is phenomenal, there's a, on YouTube, you could probably look it up, and it's like park noise. And literally is just somebody walking through Disney World. And so you just hear the sounds, you know, you go by and you hear people talking and you hear the music playing and you hear the screams from Splash Mountain as you go by. And, you know, you put your headphones on and you're immersed in it and you just feel like you're there, which is a great experience. So
that's really cool. Yeah, I've done that. That sounds really fun. I wrote it down. But some of the things I've got on YouTube are like the loop of Future World Loop, or the one that you talked about before, Illuminations. It's really cool music. I have for Christmas, there's a whole Animal Kingdom Christmas loop, and they have the loops for the different resorts. So I just downloaded those from YouTube and imported them into my iTunes. And I have a whole folder that's just Disney park music.
Yep.
And even sometimes when I'm in the car and I just want to kind of have my little moment of Disney, I'll have Frontierland or Main Street USA music going on.
Yeah, we did that. We did that when we were sitting by the pool. I took the opportunity while we were having our drinks to put a little Disney park music in there. You know, after a while, it kind of gets a little much when you're just like,
yeah.
So like Jimmy Buffett came back on, or we, you know, was something else. So, but the other thing, I don't know if you heard the episode I was doing with Becky. I found, so I have an Xbox. I play with games with my sons. I found they have a Disneyland game. It's an awful game. It's not any good, but it takes place in Disneyland and you get to walk through the parks, and they did a really amazing job with the soundscape and with the look of it. You almost feel like you're in the park. So I've been sort of just walking around Disneyland Park it sounds so pathetic when I say it out loud now.
Really sad.
Wow. Boy, oh boy. Yeah. So, but it's
wandering around a virtual park by yourself.
Yeah. You know, they give you things to do. It's definitely made for a kid. It's definitely made for a little kid. So it's hard to, you know, last very long on it, but you know, you get the sensory input, you know, from your visual and the sound, the auditory. So I told Becky about that one too. And she's a gamer. So I don't know if they have it on any other platforms other than like, you know, if they have it on a computer or on PlayStation, but it works great on Xbox when you just need a little, hey, I'm going to go walk around the parks. So, and you get to, you have to find the hidden Mickeys and take pictures. So, you know, they have little like kind of things to do while you're there. You can, you get like, in one of the things they ask you to do, you get like a Buzz Lightyear blaster and you can go through the parks and you can blast certain things and it makes things happen. So it's almost like, remember what was that? What was the game? It was like a Phineas and Ferb thing where you could go through Epcot.
Kim Possible.
Kim Possible, and you could make things happen. So same kind of thing. You can hit things and balloons go up, or the signs go in motion, or whatever. And it's a little bit of added hidden magic and stuff like that. So yeah, I dork out on that stuff for a little while.
There's a new company. I don't know if it's a new company, but it's the company that I'm opening it now. That has masks too, because I got my I have some of the Disney masks. We have a Disney outlet close by, we're very lucky, but there's a company called Park Candy and they have some really, really cool things there too. I want to say that it's in Celebration, and they have cool items that you can get a lot of really, really unique sort of masks. But they have T-shirts, they have glassware, they have all sorts of really fun things, mugs, and it's kind of stuff that you wouldn't get in the store. But I think their masks are probably flying off the shelves because they're themed to, you know, different rides, but they're sort of very subtle. That, you know, they might have little things on them that relate to something in a Disney attraction that you like, but unless you're one of those Disney people, you may not know it. But I have to say that I got my little Etsy Mickey Mouse mask that I have, and I want to say for Park Candy, they have one that looks like, for instance, I think this is really cool, they have one that looks like Spaceship Earth, so it's like a geodesic dome.
Oh, wow.
They have one that I thought was very clever that looks like the theming of the teacups. So sort of, you know how it's sort of like a certain color and then it has like some sort of funky geometric shape on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have different teacup ones and things like that. But when I go out with my Mickey mask, I get so many comments from people about mask. Like, I'm gonna love your mask. So.
Oh, there you go.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun because I think people are just looking for like, oh, we just need something fun just, to.
Yeah. And that's exactly it, right? And especially with the mask, plus you get to stand out in a little bit, maybe it creates a conversation or whatever. But
yeah, honestly, I just got it because it's comfortable. But yeah, it's
have
true.
Have you found, I'm actually going back now, I'm picking out some of our old vacation videos, you know, from when the kids were little, or I would.
Oh, wow.
I would take a video, like we'd go on a ride and I would just hold my camera steady and just videotape going through an attraction. And so I'm going back to find those. And at one point my son, we had what are those little cameras, the GoPros. And he actually would go on the rides with us and he would just carry the GoPro and let it run. So we have a bunch of videos of us on the rides. So I'm starting to put those on and take a look at those and sort of relive the attractions.
Which really fun.
Yeah, it's a fun little.
I haven't done videos, but I did. I have to say that I did. I was having a little moment yesterday and kind of going through old pictures, and I was actually looking through some Disney cruise pictures. And, you know, the islands and things like that are really fun, but really, you know, to kind of revisit the things that you do on the ship and the people that you get to know when you're on the ship, because I went on an 11-day cruise last year, so I get to know cast members really well. So, yeah, it's kind of, when can we do that again?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Have you been creating any other foods or anything? Like, I know you obviously got the coffee and
some of the drinks, you know, I did try to create, I've done sort of like a alcoholic Dole Whip type of thing.
Yeah.
I have some cookbooks, and I did actually a few weeks ago, I have a Mickey cookbook that I did some sort of a souped up brownie. I love to bake, so that was really good, but not too much.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, because I keep seeing like the people, like, you know, they put up some of the recipes for some of the foods that you can make. Obviously, like I'll say, I picked up at the supermarket the Mickey bars they have for sale.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Those. I'm trying to think of what else. Like they have a bunch of other things, but it's like way too much. I think I want to make the kitchen sink. Like I want to get the and make this big giant kitchen sink and see what we get. I see they have like the gray stuff. You can make the gray stuff on there.
Yeah.
The three cheese grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they have. If you prefer plant based options, consider making Disney's cookie fries. There you go, Michelle.
Cookie fries.
Oh, look at this. Tell Mike they've got Disney's cheddar cheese soup recipe from La Cellier, which was like the big one.
That sounds up his alley. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I gotta highlight that one. I want to check that one out.
Wacky Saturday nights at the Eliopoulos house.
I know. We're wild and crazy over here. You know, but yeah. So
well,
I mean,
I think there are a lot of ways to kind of bring Disney, you know, it back, you know, kind of keep it near your life, even if you're not there.
Yeah. So it seems like a bunch of. Obviously, I think that about wraps it up for us. If you have any other suggestions, we'd love to see you on our Facebook page, which is, what is it, Michelle? It's www.facebook.com/Mickey Miles?
Mickey Miles Podcast. Yeah.
Come on by. Let us know what you think now that we're back up and running. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. But that's going to do it for us today. So on behalf of Mike Scopel, Michelle Scribner-McLean, I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and we'll see you on the road.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.